You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Reveille, reveille, donks.
Look at us now, tip to tip. This is our life. This is our passion. That's the spirit we bring to this show.
I'm Luke Thomas.
I'm Brian Campbell.
This is Morning Combat.
Buggery, buggery, folks. Yes, it is time for Morning Combat Friday, November 6th. 2020, yes, it's your boy, the BBC, the big beige one, Brian Campbell of CBS Sports, coming at you, and you see that well-dressed, muscular man, fresh from his front yard next to me. He is my co-host. He's an employee of CBS Sports, and let me give him the same generous introduction that he gave me this week on the powerful JRE pod. This is my co-host.
That's a good zing. You know what? I have to say, BC, you're right about that. I really, after it was over, you know, I was just trying to regroup in my head, like, what did I say? What did I not say? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, I don't think I plugged anything a whole lot. I didn't. In fairness, I didn't plug my own YouTube page. I didn't plug my employers. I mentioned Morning Combat, and I made an allusion to you. I could have done a better job at plugging things, so sorry about that. But I do love you.
Hopefully you plugged Joe enough where he wants you back, and then you can come full-on MK merch coming out of your ear hole. But, Luke...
Actually, hold on. Real thing, because I didn't plug that much, I don't know if you noticed this. If you look in the description box of the video, whoever uploads those, Jamie, his producer, actually tagged my channel and tagged this channel in the description box. So shouts to Jamie for doing that.
Shout outs to everybody. Luke, it's Friday. It's our fun show. We preview the weekend. We got that nice orange font right there. That's very accosting. And Jay's back this week. I'm not going to bring the man on, but he's fresh off his
close-up. Talking yet, Jay. No talking yet.
Wait, Jay. Wait, hold on real quick, Jay. Jay, did you buy a microphone guard? What are you in the sound studio, Jay? What is that?
It's called a pop filter.
Yes, Brian. Us professional folks who do this sort of thing for a living, you have one. It's the foamy thing on your microphone.
All right.
It's right there.
There
it's
goes
the same
ratings.
Thing, but different.
Pot filter. Wow, Jay getting a head start on that New Jersey legalization there. Congratulations there. Jay, thank you for
your
service.
I'm in New York, by the way.
All right.
BC, can I tell you how excited... Go away, Jay. Can I tell you how excited I am for New Jersey legalizing marijuana when we get back to the Jersey City studios? That is going to make my train ride up and back so much better.
You're going to be all lit up again, right? You know what I'm saying?
I
can't
great.
Wait. Room service diaries are going to be a lot more fun as well. So shout out to that. Shout out to our fans and listeners. Please like the video. Subscribe to the podcast. Whether this is deep in your ear hole or you're face to face with us at the moment. And as well, look, you see Luke Thomas really modeling that fine black hoodless sweatshirt. And you can find that and much more when you're talking about MK merch. Here's where I want you to go, store.show.com. A lot of people in our family are repping this. We see them on Wednesdays when we show the fan submissions. Shout out to Bill and Jen of Bill and Jen's RV Adventure on Instagram. They're wearing this shit all over the country, so shout out to them as well. Also, 30-day free trial on Showtime. Go to Showtime.com. Look, you'll get the boxing. You'll get the documentaries. You'll get all that stuff. It's 30 days. You can see if you like this, or you can go out out in your backyard. All right. Pound some of that shit. All right. We don't care. Whatever you got to do right there. Luke, I'm not going to F around because people, they want us to get right into it. Right. They want us to just, they want us to dive right in. Do you have any anything you want to add before we go, Luke?
Excited for the weekend. Excited for today's show. I like mixing it up where you get to host the Friday program. We were balls tired last week, and people were commenting on that. But I think we're fully caffeinated and ready to go today. So let's rock.
Yeah, absolutely. And shout out to your live chat on Thursday. The lovely Luke Jr. came on, and it was a cute moment, Luke. It was a very heartfelt moment, okay?
She's learning the words owls and apples. I'm very
excited.
She's
fantastic. She's probably number two on the family MK power rankings behind Reggie Jackson the Cat. So big fan of the little one right there. Let's get into our topics for the day as we look ahead. We'll look back, all that, and then some tall, pale, and handsome BC staring the ship. And, Luke, we start out Saturday night. It's UFC Fight Night, Las Vegas from the Apex Center. And we got a really good light heavyweight matchup in the main event that nobody's talking about. It's Maheta Thiago Santos taking on former title contender challenger and a guy who's really brought himself back at 40. It's Glover Teixeira. This will be on ESPN2 and the Plus simulcast. But Luke, we talked about this a bit on Wednesday with the announcement from Dana White that Adesanya Blachowicz is next in that title picture. What do we do with this fight? Is this still, hey, maybe it's one more step to the top. How are you gauging your interest level for this, knowing that the winner, even if it's spectacular, probably not going to get that instant reward?
You know, I mean, I'm sort of looking at it two ways. It's a little bit of a redemption story, frankly, for either guy. So in different ways, obviously. It should be noted, this fight they tried to make in September of this year, and COVID knocked it out. They tried to make, there was an injury one way or the other. They tried to make it in, September, then October, and now in November, it looks like it's finally going to go through. Knock on wood, I guess we'll see. But, you know, something they've been trying to do here for a while. But the reason why I say it's a bit of a redemption story is, I think after Glover had lost to Jon Jones and then lost to, remember, he lost to Gustafson, and he lost to Rumble, and he lost to the latter two by stoppage, and especially to the Rumble one. It was really bad. You know, he had some rough runs along the way, but those are the only guys he's lost to, except Corey Anderson, who I guess he got out-wrestled by, but he's not there anymore. Anyway, you know, after all of these fights where he's kind of up, he's kind of down, he beat Cannoneer, but he was bigger and blah, 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 you know, you kind of left, not you didn't think you sucked any or something, but you kind of left the proverbial you, Teixeira for dead on the side of the road. Well, I mean, hello, everyone. Let's wake up to the reality that we're facing. He has wins consecutively over Carl Roberson, which he won via stoppage. He stopped Ion Cutelaba. He had a split decision over Krylov, but he won. And then he beat Anthony Smith. He stopped him in the fifth round. If he wins this, it'll be a 5-fight win streak for Glover Teixeira.
At 41.
At 41,
Luke.
And then the last two of those wins would be over guys who were also in title fights with Jon Jones. And the case of Thiago Santos took a card from him. I got to tell you, that is one of the best sort of slow moving out of nowhere, but yet, you know, took a long time to get here. Redemption stories, certainly be just not in just the light heavyweight division, but in all of the UFC. So I love that angle. And then the other angle for Thiago Santos, it doesn't take a genius to recognize the guy has been out for well over a year, July of 2019, I think it was, where he had, you know, devastating injuries in that Jon Jones fight and then fought his heart out. So you're asking, like, what are the stakes involved? I mean, I guess if they're going to give Adesanya the Blachowicz fight, this is number one contender after that or something, or the winner of this will be like the Michael Chandler and it'll be on a fill-in basis or something.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, bro. If Adesanya wins against Blachowicz, you got Jon Jones in the bullpen. So the winner of this fight on Saturday could be out for a while from the standpoint of cashing in that lottery ticket. It is
okay,
what it
but
is,
if
Luke.
They do that, I think if they do that, they'll make an interim title or something. They cannot deny. You're in a 5-fight win streak at light heavyweight. That's not, I mean, how many times have guys had 5-fight win streaks at light heavyweight, period? Much less, you know, at 41 years of age. Last thing I'll say on Thiago Santos, I'm going to pitch it back to you there, BC, I'm sorry, is just that, you know, the redemption story here is pretty incredible, but we don't really know what we're going to get, BC, because it wasn't just time off. He injured both of his knees and had to get all kinds of reconstructive surgery to get back to this point. Is he back where he was? Is he better than ever? I guess we're going to see, but I like the story of the fight. I just have no idea what it means in terms of actual title implications.
Yeah, I certainly like the sneaky potential for action, the way the styles clash. I mean, look, this is a stud matchup. considering, as you mentioned, that Glover has you know, refurbished himself. And, you know, Luke, they talked a lot on the, oddly enough, on the Bellator broadcast on Thursday night, where Kelis Mota, who we'll get into when we recap Bellator 251, had a good showing there before losing. And Mike Goldberg saying, look, you know, he's one of those guys in Glover Teixeira's camp there in Danbury, Connecticut, who's really pushing him. And he's got all these young guys, and he's leading this team, and he's found a way to get back to the top and be aggressive and strong and young again. And that's a fun story. But to me, it's all about Thiago Santos, because it's not just can he come back from those devastating injuries. Oh, and oh, by the way, he just had COVID, which pushed this back a while. But Luke, it's the fact that he comes into this fresh off like the mountaintop moment of his career. Yes, he lost to John Jones, but a lot of us scored it against John Jones in that fight. This was an incredible showing from Thiago Santos, not just to prove that skills-wise, he's on the title level, that he could make a case by the end of five rounds that he had beaten Jones. But Luke, you remember that fight. He did it with his, he couldn't even stand. And yet he gave the great John Jones enough pause with some really hard counter shots that John pretty much had to kind of point fight him. John wasn't trying to take him down. John wasn't trying to finish him for the most part as that fight went on. He was trying to just leg kick and hopefully collapse him. Maheta kept getting up, Luke. So what's interesting here is you want to see, can he bounce back and be that same guy? If he can't, Luke, he's 36. Like, the window might be closed. He may have had his cup of coffee, his close-up at the top level, and come that short of really fulfilling himself in a career that, you know, it wasn't just a few years ago, Luke, you can agree, we looked at Thiago Santos as kind of a journeyman who didn't really know what division was right for him. What he has done in short time, both in the cage and, to be honest, outside of it, shout out to him and Yana Kunitskaya, if you know where I'm going, Luke, it's Friday, I get to run the show and be weird. This has been one heck of a run. Do we have history, though, Luke, of people coming back at this age from this devastating of an injury and being the same guy fresh off the biggest fight? I mean, there are a lot of questions from Thiago that need answered.
First of all, you're weird whether I'm hosting the show or you are. Let's just be very, very fair and clear about that. I got to be honest. A lot of times folks want to look at injuries with guys in UFC. I mean, you ask how old Glover Teixeira is because it's worth sort of pointing out here. He's not a spring chicken. Thiago Santos. He's not a spring chicken either. He's 36 years of age. Now, he's obviously a phenomenal athlete, and I don't know how much miles he's had on him total. I think there's sort of certainly an open question about it. But I'm very skeptical that you can be the same guy back, or at least the same guy back right away. I mean, it takes some time to really, you know, work yourself into it. We saw what Shogun Hua had, a lot of injuries coming out of Pride into UFC and surgeries and rehab, and he took several fights, you know, before he was himself again. And so I'm sort of expecting that, but I guess, you know, modern medical science and rehabilitation maybe should give us a bit of a different consideration around that. I saw him at UFC DC, you know, walking around. He looked to be in good shape. He was with Yana Kunitskaya. He wasn't working out or anything, but, you know, he didn't look like he had a lot of mobility issues whatsoever. So that's not the same as fighting, obviously, but I'm just saying, you know, from what the eye test can tell, and that was almost a year ago. So I guess we're going to have to see. I mean, you know, in any other sport, particularly if, like, you were like a running back in the NFL, if you had the injuries that he had and the surgeries that he had, it's almost certain at age 36 your career would be over. You would not be performing the way you needed to hold a starting position, much less, you know, anything else. So I don't want to bury the guy because I can't declare to you that's the case. I would just encourage folks, let's see what he's got beforehand, because the rational perspective here is that as much as we might like him, and as much as we might want to Alex Smith, you know, heroize his return to the cage, you know, that's a big, big hill to climb. I'm skeptical he can be exactly what he was. But what he was maybe, you know, second, third best light heavyweight on the planet. So that's still a pretty good place to be.
What he was a vicious knockout striker those last few fights when he put it together. And look, he showed a next level toughness against John in that fight. You know, maybe if anybody can do it in terms of getting back on track to a certain level, it might be him. But let's not forget, Luke, if he wins this, whether he gets a title shot next or three fights from now, he does own a knockout of Jan Blachowicz in his last victory. So that could certainly, you know, there's some interesting storylines there you'd love to see him against Dominic Reyes. So some fun business to be had, even if the title picture has that potential to be locked up there as we move forward. Luke, there is some breaking news on Canelo we'll get into in a second after this. But as you look up and down this card, what else do you care about? Is there anything else in here you care about? Not the strongest card. Who's jumping out at you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't know if it was this card or the one next week, but John Kavanaugh, who is, of course, the coach of Conor McGregor and a bunch of people at SBG, he's a very talented coach, but he was out there killing Zane Simon on Bloody Elbow for being like, yeah, I'm taking this weekend off. I'm not going to work. And he was like, you know, fighters, pay attention to this, you know, because media who didn't want to pay attention to you when nobody cared, they'll be coming after you when you've, you know, elevated your career and blah, blah, blah. Which, you know, is a very silly argument. First of all, the idea that, like, all cards are... I've seen fight fans be like, if you're a real fight fan, you like every card, which is, like, the actual opposite of the truth. If you're a real fight fan, you have a wider appetite maybe for it than most, but you should also have something known as a fight palate, where you can discern good from bad. I mean, imagine being like, I'm a music fan, or even just pick a genre, I'm a hip-hop fan. I listen to all forms of hip-hop, really? Including Insane Clown Posse and other dog shit. That's what you do. If that's what you're telling us you just have no ability to discern good from bad. You're not a fan. You're just a vacuum. So, I mean, this sort of idea that, like, you can't take cards off or, like, everyone is worth all of your attention. Totally ridiculous. So, with that being said, there still are some interesting fights on this card. Tanner Bosser has come out of nowhere facing Andre Arlovsky. It's your co-main event. I don't know what to make of Andre at this late stage. Certainly not what he once was, but he doesn't want to go away quietly, and I think it's worth sort of seeing exactly what Tanner Bosser can do. Claudia Gadelha taking on Xiao Nan Yang. I'm sure I am mispronouncing her name, but it's
Luke, that's
Chinese.
A great fight. That's a great-ass fight right there, bro.
Dude, I'm going to say Yan. I don't know how to pronounce it, but Yan is an absolute dynamo. She's 12-1. She's one of these Chinese fighters coming up who is really giving people a lot of problems. She has wins over Angela Hill and Karolina Kovalkiewicz. She is an absolute dynamo, so that's worth paying attention to. There's a couple other ones up and down, but those are the ones I've got my eyes on. What about you?
And look, Claudia has won 4 of 5 and is trying to reinvent herself, Luke, in her early 30s there in Mark Henry's camp in New Jersey, trying to mix more than just being wrestling heavy. So this is a very interesting fight for sort of future title placement there in that all-killer, no-filler strawweight division that we love. Good God, it's 2020, and Andre Arlovsky's still in co-main events, Luke. It's just...
He's got 19 losses. 29 wins, 19 losses.
I will say a sneaky good middleweight bout on that main card between Ian Heinisch and Brendan Allen. Does that tickle you at all? I'm still waiting for Heinisch to figure out how to be a thing, Luke, because that backstory is it's tremendous. It's Lightning Lee Murray style.
It is, although here's the problem for him. Brendan Allen is like, I mean, he's not just getting better fighter for fight. He looks to me like he could be somebody that folks are going to need to reckon with here pretty soon. Coming into the UFC, he has wins over Kevin Holland, Tom Breeze, and Kyle Daukaus, another top contender who's also going to be a force to be reckoned with as time goes on. And that Kyle Daukaus fight, he had to really earn it. But against Breeze and Kevin Holland, it was not especially close. He does have 3 losses, but they were at a different spot in his career. He looks to be the genuine article. So, like, first of all, I don't even know what the odds are. Let's see. What do the odds have it for this contest? Yeah, they've got it as a bit of a pick'em. They got it as a pick'em. I honestly would favor Allen to win. Heinisch has, I think, a better motor, probably a better pure wrestling. It might be a better athlete, but Brendan Allen just has this ability to command the space. Very well-rounded, a lot of different gears he can go to, and that adaptability, BC, it serves him really well in fights where, you know, sometimes he has to lean on one skill set or the other, like against Kevin Holland. Maybe don't strike that guy too much. Kyle Daukaus, you know, lean on some of that well-rounded scrambling ability. And that's a tough fight for Ian Heinisch. Tough fight for Brendan Allen, too, but that one is a great one to pay attention to as well.
Yeah, it's a very good fight. I can't wait to see that. Allen has impressed me a ton. Luke, we got to get into some breaking news. This was not planned. This was not on our rundown. But on Instagram, Canelo Alvarez, of course, the Mexican superstar, number one pound for pound on my boxing list, middleweight champion, secondary title at 168. You know him. He's the biggest star in the sport. His trainer and co-manager, Eddie Reynoso, has put out a statement on Instagram, and I'm going to read it, Luke. The headline is Canelo Alvarez free agent. Quote, in my role as manager and coach of Canelo, I allow myself to communicate to the boxing community and to all our fans that starting today, November 6th, Canelo becomes a free agent. So we are ready to continue with his boxing career. All this time, we've been working very hard in the gym with a lot of responsibility and discipline to be in great physical shape and ready to fight this year. And it will be! Exclamation point. Eddie closed by saying, we will announce the date, the rival, and the place very soon, and we will return stronger than ever to keep growing and showing that Mexican boxing is the best. Luke, this Whoa. Is massive news. Now, let's frame it. Canelo Alvarez has a lawsuit out at the moment in court in California against Golden Boy Promotions, Oscar De La Hoya, and DAZN for many reasons, mostly not following through on DAZN's end on the guarantee of $35 million per fight for his current contract, and also a lot of backroom stuff on how Golden Boy Promotions has cared for him both financially and personally. Luke, we don't know the legal side yet. We haven't seen a response yet from Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy on whether Canelo and Eddie Reynoso can claim this. But as it pertains, Luke, if this is true, in the boxing landscape where we know there's politics, there's segregation, the best don't always fight the best. Good God, how big of a story is it for you if Canelo Alvarez can pick and choose who he wants to fight, where, on what network, and all that, starting right now?
I mean, that is an amazing revelation. So I have two different responses. One, I can't help but feel like this is when St. Pierre declared he was a free agent. Remember that? And Dana was like, no, you're not. But he ended up getting, I think it was the Bisping fight, in short order after that. So one real play here is that this is Canelo doing something to force DAZN's hand to give him something that he wants. In other words, he would not be leaving DAZN, but he would be cracking the whip on them in some kind of way to force a resolution so that whatever is happening with the lawsuit or whatever, he can just come to some kind of place where he's advantaged and given whatever he is looking for. The specifics of that, obviously, hard to tell. That's one read on this. The other read is that they're actually right, and that he has freed himself from the contract. I mean, let's just call it what it is, BC. We know that the guy who runs Showtime Sports, Steven Espinosa, on the record has said, you know, to the extent that Canelo were ever a free agent, I know Showtime would want him. I don't know what kind of relationship Canelo has with Top Rank, but when you're Canelo, everyone wants to have a good relationship with you, and I imagine Bob Arum would want his services, and it would go on, and it, just from there. Anybody who knows anything about boxing or is in the boxing business, if Canelo were a free agent, would want to do business with him because, as you mentioned, he is the pound-for-pound best. He's arguably the biggest star. Even on pay-per-view in this climate with the right fight, I think he could sell a shit ton. You've missed your windows for the dates around Mexican boxing, Cinco de Mayo and then Mexican New Year, but still it wouldn't matter. If he could come up with some kind of, BC, let's call it December surprise, that would be astronomical.
Yeah, this is monster in every category. For the short term of boxing, look, it's a big hit to have your number one star not fight at all this calendar year. If they're just going to parachute in and give us a fight, and oh, by the way, Canelo's been in the gym. We've seen the videos because his stablemate Ryan Garcia is preparing for that big fight against Luke Campbell. So we've seen Canelo hit the bag. He's ready. Now, look, again, full disclaimer, Golden Boy may be able to speak on this. You know, there may be language that says, I'm sorry, you can announce that you're back, but we got many a court date that can prevent that. We'll see where that goes. But if we live in a world where this is true, Luke, just the fact, again, he's the biggest star, so that matters. He's the number one best fighter to a lot of people. That certainly matters. His style in the ring is both fun and sort of heavy craft, so that matters. But how about this, Luke? He has a title at 160 middleweight. He's the lineal champion. He holds a secondary title at 168. He also won a belt at 175 last fall and gave it up right away after knocking out Sergey Kovalev. So when your biggest star in the sport has that flexibility to fight over a number of weight classes and potentially take on some guys at 147 or 154 who want to move up, the flexibility to make massive fights is huge. And again, in this day and age when fighters get good pay, they get good treatment, but to do that, they have to align themselves typically with a network and a promoter and live in that silo, right? Unless you get to such a high level where you can get different people to play along, like we saw with Wilder and Fury there with a two network pay-per-view deal. If Canelo can kind of go the route that Miguel Cotto did to end his great career, I don't know if you remember this, Luke, he didn't have a promoter. He was one fight deal with everyone after signing that massive deal with Roc Nation and Jay-Z, and then kind of just picking which network he wanted to fight with. He started to just really call his own shots. If you're telling me the future for Canelo could be, how about we do a Golovkin trilogy? How about we fight a Callum Smith, who's an unbeaten champion at super middleweight? How about we fight a Charlo to unify middleweight belts? How about we entertain the idea of Errol Spence coming up? How about Jaime Munguia, your guy? How about we do a fun fight there in All Mexico Showdown? This is going to be fun, Luke. This is going to be fun. I just don't want to see my guy, Big Red, in a courtroom for 2 years. You do remember Andre Ward's saga, correct?
Yes. I don't. I think this might be a way. At a bare minimum, I mean, here's probably the good news about this. Either he is a free agent, and I suspect they'll come to some kind of fight pretty quickly. How good of a fight it will be, I don't know. But, you know, getting Canelo back into rotation pretty quickly, that I think would happen. Or on the other side, it's what we said it was initially, which is this is a way to, like, shake DAZN into action or to, you know, force them to give in to Canelo's wishes one way or the other or just be more accommodating in some kind of way. If it's that, either way, it looks like you're going to get Canelo sooner rather than later. December, I don't know. I mean, that would probably only be true if he's a free agent. I don't know that DAZN is in a position otherwise. But also, I got to say this, man. DAZN, I don't know what kind of shape they're in. And I realize we work for Showtime. That makes any kind of commentary we have here somewhat biased. I still am a DAZN subscriber. I did not cancel my DAZN subscription. I kept it running the whole time. I never paused it, never took a month off, nothing. I have maintained access to the platform this whole time. But I got to tell you, as a observer in the media, and frankly, as a consumer, I just don't know what I'm paying for. I get the occasional Jaime Munguia fight or, you know, something that you bring to my attention. Devin Haney, I think, you know, certainly is somebody who's been on DAZN, with DAZN. But in general, it's like, what am I paying for month over month? I'm not sure I know, BC. I don't really have a good grasp on that.
Yeah, Akin Barak, Chris Mannix's video pod. I don't know what you're paying for, Luke. Bellator, I guess you're, you know, but we can get that on CBS Sports Network. So, Luke, I don't have a good answer there. But again, whether it's on DAZN in December, I want to see Canelo back. We'll be following this story closely, and we'll certainly update you whether we do a bonus pod if something big happens with this, but we'll be on it. Let's stay back on track here, Luke, with the news at hand. We did want to address, of course, Gervonta Davis, less than a week removed from that spectacular knockout of Leo Santa Cruz on Showtime pay-per-view. And, oh, by the way, this Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern on Showtime, full replay of that fight, which was your knockout of the year there, folks. Believe that. Spectacular. Unfortunately, Luke, Gervonta back in the news for potentially the wrong reasons, as sources have told Baltimore police that he may have been involved in a hit and run early Wednesday. It happened a mile away from a club in which Gervonta was at a party at. He has not been arrested. Was not no word at this point if he was driving the car or if he was even in the vehicle. Police are still investigating it. Sources, a lot of sources out there. Team Gervonta has given a no comment to TMZ when reached out. But Luke, obviously, Gervonta, we want him to get back on the straight and narrow in and out of the ring and on the scales, because you saw Saturday night, full speed ahead, Gervonta, all powers pressing forward, Wonder Twin powers activate. He's among the best fighters in this game with really the highest ceiling commercially. When you see this, what is your reaction, Luke?
Well, listen, until there's more information available or he's charged, there's not a whole lot you can say or frankly even should say. Obviously, if, and it is a big if, it is true, it's a terrible look, although, again, not necessarily the end of the world. But I'll just say this. It's like, listen, I've never been a celebrity. I'm never probably going to be a celebrity. I don't know what it's like to be young at 25 and 26 and rich and famous. But here's what I do know. I've seen plenty of people in the world who have been as rich and as famous, more so than him. And yes, some have succumbed to some of the pressures that lead to a bit of a wild and undisciplined life. But I've seen plenty who did it no problem. And I'll say this for the average person, because that's what I've been most of my life. It's not hard to not get in trouble.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
It's fairly easy, actually. You just need to do the things you are expected to do. Don't hang out with weirdos. Don't hang out with losers. Don't get behind the wheel of a car if you've been drinking. Have someone, if you have the money, to be a, you know, sober driver or look over your affairs or whatever. It's frankly not that hard. Yet when you get in trouble out in bars or clubs or behind the wheel, it's because somewhere along the line you clearly acted recklessly. You know, it's just, it's always the case. It's never a case where someone drugged you, then threw you into the you know, the front seat of a car, duct taped your hands to the wheel, and then put a brick in your shoe so that, you know, the car would just drive off. You took actions to just not mitigate risk. And if Gervonta Davis, who, yes, probably lives a very different life than I lived when I was 25 or 26, I recognize, but also what that means is he's got a lot more to lose. BC, all I had to lose when I was 25 or 26 was a week's supply of ramen noodles. Wouldn't have been that bad if I had, you know, gone old tits up in a ditch somewhere. No one really cares. But if you're Gervonta Davis, you have your whole career in front of you. You have massive paydays. You have fans to gain. You just have so much. The world will be your oyster if you don't fuck up. So I don't know if he did. I don't know if he didn't. But if he did, he should be condemned. If he didn't, folks need to lay off. Either way, young men of the world, it is not hard to not get in trouble. Don't be a fuck up.
Yeah, and look, just for the record, the car in question on the hit and run was a brand new Lamborghini SUV, which with no plates, which is very similar to the one that Tank Davis was filmed in driving, you know, shortly after the win over Leo. So we'll see what happens on that. Maybe people should be more like a Mike Tyson, Luke. His old mansion is not far from where I live in Farmington, Connecticut. There, the one that 50 Cent ended up buying from him. They got the full stripper pole and dance club in the house, Luke. You don't have to drive. You don't have to mess around. The freaks come out at night in your house, right? That's what Luke will do with a couple more trips to the JRE pod,
that,
right?
That Lamborghini he bought is about, if you bought it like, you know, decked out or whatever, fully loaded, you're talking almost $300,000.
Wow, membership to that level of pay-per-view stardom has its privileges. We'll be following that story as well here, Luke. Also, hey, let's talk about Tite Gate here for the UFC middleweight champion Israel Adesanya. We do remember a lot of gyno talk at the idea of his flabby right nipple during that knockout of Paulo Costa to defend. No, Jay, we're going to do the UFC thing now. Thank you. Yes. To defend the
Jay's like,
title.
Jay's like, yo, that's 6'4". Nigerian Kiwi looks just like the 5'7" dude from Charm City. Wow, Jay, really showing your true colors there.
And that flabby nipple, of which Adesanya didn't really have a strong excuse, led a lot of people to believe potential PED use. Well, Adesanya talked with ESPN, and he was asked if he had an update on this. He said, "Pec gate? No. My pituitary gland was checked. Hormone levels are fine. Estrogen and testosterone. Yesterday, we had an ultrasound and a mammogram." Wow, a mammogram on those mammos. He said, "I had one for the first time, and to be honest, it might have just been unhealthy living a little bit, like smoking weed. That's what the doctor from the UFC said. He said I need to stop, but I'm not stopping. I'm just going to slow down on the smoking weed," end quote. Hey, Luke, I've lived this life before. Not the UFC championship one, but the other one. You invade yourself with couches and munchies. You get double gyno, bro. You don't get one, right? You know what I'm saying here? You buy this?
I don't know. I don't know what his doctor told him. You know, I've never heard of, I mean, certainly I'm no medical professional or am I overly familiar with the literature around this. But if you're asking me if I ever heard of weed smoking causing single breast gyno, no, I've never heard of that ever.
No.
I don't, listen, man, y'all know my view on this thing. Whether he did or he didn't, I don't use something he wasn't supposed to. I don't really give a fuck. But if he's got, like, I almost want to try the marijuana. Like, wow, you've got marijuana so powerful, it grows tits. Like, I'm not saying I want the tits, but wow, that's probably some great marijuana.
Yeah. In our day, Luke, people used to take their weed and spray it with bug spray. You know, they'd smoke that wet. I got to get the CKB stuff that he's doing there. You know what I mean? I could feel myself up. Luke, I wish he just would have said, and look, again, I mean, there's the chance that this is just a medical freak or he pulled. I wish he just would have come out and said, yeah, I pulled a muscle during camp. And the point is, like, to have that belief.
That's better?
I think I almost like it better when people lie in a in an educated way where I can pick and choose if I think you're lying. But when you come out and say I smoke too much weed, it does like, come on, bro. Like that doesn't cause that.
I
we
see.
Know
so
that.
You want the lie to at least, if they're going to lie, you want the lie to like
make
be,
sense.
Yeah. Somewhat more plausible given what we know about the world. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, it's asking. I mean, it's all a lie at the end of the day. Like I said, whether he did or he didn't, I don't give a fuck. But
I feel the same thing about boxing promoters, by the way. They're like used car salesmen most of the time. I mean, Dana, too. All promoters. Most of the time, they're lying, Luke. I like when they lie in an Eddie Hearn fashion where you feel good about it. And you're like, yeah, take my bro. Take it, please. Like, go ahead. I'm fine with that. Don't lie to me in such an obvious dirtbag way. Again, I don't know the situation. It's humorous at best. You and I are on that side of the fence. I can't believe you dragged me to this side of the fence, Luke, where I'm just like, they're all using at the end of the day. I don't care. People think that's irresponsible. They think we have a platform where we should protect the sanctity, Luke, of drug use. Luke's like, I can't wait to get to New Jersey, brother. All right. Hey, let's roll on. Connected to this story, though, Luke, Paulo Costa is going to join Deontay and Adesanya in the excuse gate. He's still talking about how he didn't really show up that night. Here's his most recent quote. I don't like to talk because it might sound as an excuse, but I had no sleep. My leg was totally impaired and I shouldn't have fought. I should have postponed it for the next weekend or more. Ah, Luke, he's still putting extra on top of that shit pile.
Like, let me see if I understand this right. You're telling me that the injury is so severe or whatever it was that he couldn't perform up to the standard of what he is accustomed to, maybe through the right hand, right? Or the right arm. It's the presumption there. But if you had just waited a week, you could have. Well, how fucking severe is it? If you can wait a week and you're good to go and that would have made all the difference, you're not that injured. I just don't believe that. So I'm not saying he was 100%. In fact, I suspect he probably wasn't. I suspect there's something to be said for the fact that he probably was banged up in some kind of way that really, you know, made
no
a difference.
No one's ever.
In the end.
You're not 100% if you do this in practice for a living.
Exactly.
You can't, your body can't sustain this.
And, you know, Adesanya was like 103%, you know, given the growth of that right side of his body. But I'm just saying, either way, dude, it's like if you needed a week to get right, that's not an explanation for, like, basically not showing up at all. If it had been, you know, real close, BC, and you could tell he was hobbling or, you know, something else, it'd be one thing. It was a blowout. It was a fucking blowout. And so I don't buy that 7 days later changes it from a blowout to a win. Maybe less of a blowout or something, but not a win.
Here's the deal. Like I just said, if you're going to lie to me in an educated way so I can believe you. I can want to believe you. I feel the same way about excuses. Like either come out and say, look, I'll take the L. I lost, but I'm going to come back stronger. Watch out who's in front of me next. That's how you really take an L. But if you're going to lie, like, I don't know. We just saw Khabib with what? The mumps and a broken foot and a broken toe. Go out there and act like nothing happened and take down this wild beast in Gaethje. We just saw Teofimo win and respond to talks about Lomachenko's injured shoulder by saying, I slightly tore my MCL like 2 weeks before the fight. Everyone's hurt. Everyone's banged up. Kane shouldn't have taken that first JDS fight, Luke, on national television with that injured knee. He got sent to hell. Remember what he did after that, Luke? Do you remember? He came back and he beat the shit out of Junior Dos Santos twice and won his title. Okay, then he grew love handles and had a WWE run that we'd like to forget. But outside of that, Luke, he came back and did the manly thing. So, Cruz, like you're Paulo Costa is so damn manly, Luke. Do you remember that picture that Jay just posted with him and the girls with the pink bikinis? Just post that all day on your Instagram and Twitter. No more excuses, bro. Okay, knock fools out, get back in the title picture. We will see you again because I do believe you're that good, okay?
That's or just make up like some kind of excuse that sounds awesome. Being like, I got blown so many times in the week before the fight that
there
I was drained.
Look
was
at
drained.
This guy. Look at this stud, bro. Guys like this should offer zero excuses because that L against Adesanya is this big, Luke, compared to this big of probably what he's packing. Like, I mean, come on, right?
I know, but shouldn't your excuse be like, listen, I was banging so many people's mothers that I just couldn't go on anymore, and I didn't properly save myself for fight night. I'd be a lot more like, all right, shit, okay, rematch. Let's just run this one back. But, you know, the one he's given just doesn't inspire confidence.
What's that around his necklace? Is that a C ring, Luke?
Is that the octagon?
I think it's like a, I think it's a rod ring. Oh, it's
an octagon. Yeah, the UFC sells proprietary jewelry that is very, angular and bad.
Hey, I got to give them credit. Even though the UFC did not give us the Fight Island that they sold us, have you checked out the merch? Like the t-shirts and sweatshirts and hats and stuff and beer koozies. It's all like really good stuff. It's very colorful. It's good merch, Luke. I can't wait till it's like $5.99 on the UFC site and I'm going to wear it. And I'm going to buy it and wear it all over like this. Hey, Luke, how about this UFC 200 shirt right here? That fight didn't happen at UFC 200, Luke.
Did you go to UFC 200? Did I see you there?
I did. And I got this UFC 200 Conor Nate Diaz poster. That fight didn't happen either at 200, Luke. Okay.
You know, what's funny is I remember when I UFC 200, I flew out there on a Wednesday. So Wednesday morning, and I had to take, I think I couldn't even take direct because SiriusXM made me take Southwest Airlines. All I know is I landed local time in Vegas, I want to say 9:30-ish. And I opened my phone and I turned it on. And the first thing I saw was, and it was like within a minute of me turning it on, John Jones out due to test failure. And I was like, yes. You gotta be.
I was in the front row for that press conference where he cried and he came out with the handler. Who's that lady?
I was there.
The fixer. Yeah, that was a wild week, Luke. Also, do you remember you and I covered Not Together? We were friendly, but we certainly weren't hanging out in each other's hotel rooms. The UFC New York card, one of the two, either 217 or 230. And John and Gustafson did a press conference at the MSG Theater. You remember that?
I was not there for that. I had to watch that from the SiriusXM studios. But yes, I remember it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I sat next to your producer. That's what happened. I sat next to what's her name? She's fantastic.
Marissa.
And I raised my hand and I was like, hey, Gus, John's done a ton of drugs. Do you have any reservations taking this fight to make sure he's clean? And I think the first thing I got on my phone was a text from you saying, wow, you had a good run covering John Jones. Welcome to the club. John glared at me during that question so hard, Luke, so hard.
Yeah. All right. Have you had an interview with him since then?
Yes. And actually two of them on camera and after weigh-ins, and they went very well. I was fun. Look, I don't think he remembers, but you're not the only one that got shut out. He banned Brett Okamoto for a bunch of years.
Yeah.
And
Brett told me that.
When he flew into Bristol one day, I was Brett's editor at the time, and I had to interview John because he one of the things he said, I'll come, but I'm not talking to Okamoto, which is ridiculous because the guy's so handsome, like Ioana said, right? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, they buried the hatchet. I think that John and Brett have a relationship now. I still, to this day, I really wonder what the fuck could I have possibly said for lifelong ostracism. I guarantee you it's not that big a deal. I guarantee
you. He probably forgot about it.
During that time, I did criticize John on occasion. It did happen. But if anything had gone on during that time, I was being lambasted by the fan base for my reflexive defense of John. It was actually kind of comical that I was the one that he got really bitter at for those reasons. I had forgotten about it and just, who gives a shit anymore because it's never going to happen. But like to this day, it's like, dude, what the fuck could I have possibly said that would get him this mad? Who the fuck knows,
All right, Luke, let's move on. We got Thursday night's Bellator 251 card that took place on the CBS Sports Network.
That card
from the
sucked.
Mohegan Sun. Yeah, it did suck. Look, people say, oh, you're Bellator shills. Well,
are we?
If the check's fat enough, I will. No, I'm kidding. we previewed the card. The card wasn't great. We do have a couple of things to talk about. Corey Anderson made his Bellator debut. And he gave it to Melvin Manhoef nearly two full rounds of ground and pound, Luke, before stopping him, taking Manhoef down with ease. He outstruck him 38-1 in that opening round. And in that second round, when his corner told him to go for the finish, you saw some vicious elbows that cut Melvin open. The fight stopped right after that. After the fight, Corey Anderson said, I don't care who has the belt next, whether it's Nemkov, whether it's Phil Davis, if Phil gets the next fight, I need to fight the champion next. Your thoughts in general on this Bellator debut for OT?
Look, this is arguably a situation where Manhoef shouldn't even be fighting, and not because he wasn't winning fights more recently, he was, just because of the amount of damage he's taken in his MMA and kickboxing careers over the years. And so, you know, I wasn't exactly enamored with the matchmaking. And, you know, it was also at 205. It's like, you know, Melvin is his best at 185. But, okay, neither here nor there. So let's just sort of posit that Corey Anderson was taking on overmatched opposition. It's a hard thing to look good when you're expected to just blow somebody up. But I'll say this. I thought Corey looked awesome. You know, he was expected to look awesome, but he met all those expectations. He dictated where the fight took place. He almost dictated when the fight took place. Like, he had Manhoff so defensive, reacting to not merely his pressure from his takedowns, but his fakes and his feints and everything else in between. He really had this guy, not shook per se, I don't think he was afraid, but just constantly worried about what Anderson was going to do and could never get out of first gear. And then he was able to look good on the feet as long as he needed to. He found the takedown when he wanted to. He passed. Phenomenal ground and pound in both rounds from different kinds of spaces and different kinds of ways. This was a one-sided ass kicking. And not only that, Corey looked calm the whole time. He didn't look like he was rushing into anything. I mean, you might say, well, if it was a blowout, why couldn't he finish him in the first round? It's like, well, you know, BC, you know this as well as I do. A smart veteran fighter will get the finish if there really is that much of a differential, but they'll take their time. They're not going to rush anything. Okay, Jorge Masvidal, Ben Askren notwithstanding. In general, you know, they're going to patiently execute, and if there's a difference, it's going to show up pretty quickly. That's exactly what you saw. So to me, Corey Anderson had to do a lot to just kind of break even, so to speak. But he did all of that and then some. He really has come into his own. He's a smart, patient, talented, well-rounded fighter. And I think, BC, and I would love to know where you're at on this, I don't think it makes sense for him to fight Phil Davis next. I understand the argument that, hey, you should fight someone else before getting Vadim Nemkov.
No, he was saying if Davis beats Nemkov, if Davis gets the next shot and beats Nemkov.
But this is my thing. Nemkov already beat Phil Davis. It already happened. I don't think Davis has done enough to warrant another title shot. I think Corey's the hot, exciting new challenger. My thought is give Davis the winner of Anderson and Nemkov.
Yeah, I'm with that. And Davis is fresh off the win over Machida to get back in the win column. Look, Anderson, he talked a lot of stuff that can be, you can think of it as like cliche fighter talk, but I think for him it was real. He basically said, you know, all that stuff, I don't want to be a trash talker anymore. I don't want to be even a stand-up fighter. I don't want to be the person or the fighter that UFC was trying to make me. I just want to be myself and play to my strengths. Luke, if he keeps doing that, he's probably going to end up being the Bellator light heavyweight champion. Maybe not probably. I mean, here's the conversation right here. The fact that him against Nemkov is a badass fight. I really want to see that. I think Bellator has a fantastic matchup on its hands if they do make that next. And the good news again for Corey Anderson is I want to see him pretty much against all those top light heavyweights. I'm not going to play this game with you. Is Bellator's light heavyweight division, you know, stronger or better than UFC's? But I will say, if he ends up fighting Phil Davis or Machida or, you know, Musasi potentially and Nemkov, like, I want to see all these matchups. And this is great. Corey Anderson looks right now ready to be a Bellator light heavyweight champion. And look, I'm happy for him if he's getting paid in a comfortable manner, which he always felt he deserved. So big win there, expected. Nothing else you can say about it. Luke, did you see this interesting Derek Anderson Kelis Motta fight, which was kind of interesting coming in on paper? And then Kelis Motta, the Brazilian who was making his second Bellator appearance, was kicking Derek Anderson's ass all over the place in this welterweight bout, taking him down, nearly submitting him. And when Derek Anderson began to turn it around, it was a kick to the side of the cheek on Motta. As Motta was popping up off the ground, he had one fist down and his knee, which was down, was coming up off the canvas. So in the moment, referee Mike Beltran ruled it an illegal strike. Doctor came in, but they went to the instant replay. And rightfully so, Luke, from the stance that they got it right, the kick was legal. But tell me what I'm missing here on the rules. They still stopped the fight. They gave Derek Anderson a TKO win. It didn't look like Motta was dead. I mean, it was a nice kick. I didn't think he killed him. Why in MMA were we already are willing to stop a fight for 5 full minutes on any kind of foul and give that person that got hit the full time to recover? Why are we not stopping the fight, having a replay official ready, getting the verdict, and then going, nope, it was clean, fight on? How the hell does Derek Anderson get a win here?
Because Motta couldn't continue. he was given the option. If it's a legal strike, you're given the option to. If it's DQ, if it's an illegal strike, I could be wrong about this, but I know that he had the opportunity to continue and declined. And so that was that. But I think also, if you stop the fight, can you just, you know what? I'm not sure. I'm making shit up. I don't want to speak out of turn.
I think the rule is that if you go to the replay, the fight cannot be restarted. That's the rule.
That's exactly right. So once they did that, it was over. But I thought that, I don't know, dude. I'm actually going to speak out of turn. I don't want to speak out of turn. Here's what I'll say on this. The one comment I
have. Look at the strike, though. Did you see the strike, Luke? I'm not.
Yes.
Look,
so
he
basically, what happened was
he
had two knees down. He had two knees down and a hand. And what he ended up doing was, if you look closely, there's a moment where he balances on one foot and one hand, and the other knee comes up. So he just has a foot and a hand down and no knee for a split second, and the kick lands right in that space. It's a little bit hard to tell from the highlight there, but you can. Without knowing the rules properly, and before I say something I don't know the answer to, the only thing I had is I saw people being like, well, why aren't kicks legal? If, you know, what's the functional difference between this and actually having, you know, a knee and a hand or both knees down? It really would be the same in the end. And I can't argue with that, BC, but here's what I would say. If you put enough restrictions on a rule, there are going to be situations where like this happens, and you say to yourself, how meaningful is this if we can allow something that looks just like what it would be we would normally be allowing for in a different circumstance? The answer is, if you make it illegal, you might find situations that are able to thread a very tiny needle. They're able to get through a very tiny window of cases, but it will limit the overall amount of ones that could cause more reckless damage. I'm not saying I'm not for changing some of the rules of combat, but just because this one situation looks like it would have looked had he had both knees down doesn't change the fact that still limiting the scope overall limits the amount of damage if that's something you're trying to aim for.
I just don't like... So here's how it happened. Beltran asked Mota if he can continue. You saw that in the video. When Mota said no, they waved it off. The fight's over. Then Beltran says, we have the option to replay. Let's go to it. So he's following protocol. And Luke, if the protocol is that the fight can't be restarted, well, then that's my issue, because you saw the video. Look, I'm not the one getting kicked in the face. I'm not saying it didn't hurt. I'm not saying it didn't wobble him, but it didn't look like a fight-ending blow. I would rather than say to Mota in that moment, can you continue? Because what are his options? Continue and wait 5 minutes and be damaged, or say no and have a chance at a cheap win. I'd rather not that be in play. I'd rather say, let's go to the video now. And then, dude, if you can't continue, you lose. That's it. The way that it's set up now instead, I think that it's, I don't think it works for anybody, because I don't think Derek Anderson deserved to have won this fight. Luke, at best, the way the rules are set up, I think it should have been a no contest. But
yeah. And by the way, to your point, for folks who didn't see the fight, Anderson was losing in every phase of that fight.
Like,
he
it was
did
shocking.
Have a nice, yeah, he did have a nice takedown there towards the end, which he carried Mota to his own corner so he could hear their instructions. But even then, you know, this guy Kelly Mota he looked great. I'm actually encouraged to see more from him. But the rules being what they are, you know, it ended the way it did.
Let's change the damn rules, first of all, and let's get them unified across all mixed martial arts in this country. It doesn't matter what promotion, it doesn't matter what state. Why is this so hard? Let's unify the damn rules, and let's set it up, Luke. If you're going to use instant replay, then use it the right freaking way. It doesn't have to take 20 minutes. You got a referee on the side with a TV that makes his decision, signals the referee, and we either stop or we keep going. I mean, come on. Does it seem that hard?
Are we
going to
talk, though, about the real winner of the night, Austin Vanderford?
Yeah, stayed unbeaten at middleweight, took on late replacement Vinicius De Jesus. So here's the deal, Luke. He kicked De Jesus's ass. He took him down at will. Those are not highlights from last night. And he, great jab, and ground and pound was there. But Luke, I'm not trying to take anything away from him, given that he has the worst tattoo of all time on his throat. Did you see a guy who ever looked like he was close to a finish? I felt like I needed the finish to put that statement on that win.
You know what? I thought about that, too. I was like, for as much ass as he's kicking here, why aren't we closer to a finish? I had the exact same thought you did. Here's what I'll say. If you guys didn't see this, I mean, Paige VanZant is his wife. She's obviously the much more famous of the two, but he's the much better fighter in every way. He is significantly more talented than she is. He looked good. Like, he is turning into a legitimate real talented fighter. It's very impressive to see how far he's come. Now, he's still got a long way to go. And to your point, what about the finishing? I have a feeling, BC, and I certainly have no proof. This is just a theory, a hypothesis, a hunch, whatever you want to call it. He had been off for a while, and he was looking to get back to action. I wonder if he dragged it out a little bit and didn't really, like, super hunt the finish in an effort to get the most amount of time in the cage that he needed, especially since he was basically safe no matter what he did, to just make sure he didn't have too much ring rust for the next time out. You know, if you go in there and you blow the guy's doors off in 2 minutes, it's not a lot of time spent in there getting back the feeling of a fight under your feet. Well, he got it all back here. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe I'm being too kind. Maybe he has bad finishing instincts. But either way, he dominated the shit out of this fight.
Yeah, here's the replays right here of the victory over. He does have finishing instincts both in the marriage bed and the tattoo chair. But if he can bring that to the cage as well, Luke, it'll be interesting. By the way, a lot of rumors about Paige VanZant's BKFC debut, that it could come Super Bowl weekend. We'll see where that goes. I know you love yourself some PVZ.
Yeah, I mean, hard to imagine caring less, but okay.
All right, let's get off of Bellator. Luke, I want to bring back in the Canelo thing real quick because we have a major update here. ESPN Deportes Salvador Rodriguez is reporting through sources that Canelo Alvarez has been released from both his Golden Boy Promotions deal and his DAZN contract.
What?
Luke, if this is true, this is massive. And what this
dude,
would basically tell you...
Wait. Read it one more time. He is both free from DAZN and Golden Boy?
And Golden Boy. So that would tell you, if true, Luke, that they must have felt this is a legal battle that either they can't win or they don't want to go down that road and they just want to end it here. That's massive. And there's another caveat here. A source told Rodriguez, who, by the way, is a very credible reporter, that Alvarez and his team are targeting a December 19th return at super middleweight. Get this, Luke, against IBF champion Caleb Plant. Whoa, buddy. Whoa.
So who would have rights to that? PBC?
Caleb Plant is a PBC fighter. If Canelo is a true network and promotional free agent, there's a great chance that would be on either Fox pay-per-view or Showtime pay-per-view, given the PBC contracts. Plant has fought most recently on Fox and Fox pay-per-view. Luke, that is a massive fight. And
that's a stunner.
I've gone on record before saying I think Caleb Plant has the skills where he could be a major problem for Canelo, given that he can box and has defense and real hand speed, Luke. This would be very interesting if this is true. And that's a huge fight that could be parachuted into our laps. Look, it's a story that's still developing as we speak, but that is the ESPN report at the moment. So, wow, Luke.
Wow, man. That is, boy, you want to talk about a Friday news dump, BC.
Yeah.
Where do you think he ends up? You think he ends up with Fox or, you know, and again, we're by the way, I'm biased.
I don't
biased
think he ends
shit
up with anybody.
Listen,
Luke,
I think
that's
I'm
the model.
Okay, for one fight deal. Here's what I'm saying. The Plant fight. One fight deal. I'm biased. I would fucking love for him to end up on Showtime because that would mean we either get to cover the fights or, like for the last fight, BC, we don't get invited to the actual host city, but we go back to Jersey City where we can do room service diaries again.
With a new legal substance, Luke. I will say that Canelo obviously does have that history with Showtime pay-per-view. He fought Arislandi Lara, Alfredo Angulo, Floyd Mayweather. So it would be interesting. Either way, Luke, if this is the fight, by the way, that's a hell of a fight. I mean, that is fantastic. So we'll see where that goes. Real quick, Luke, Saturday on to, speaking of DAZN, they do have a fight card on Saturday. It is a fight you do need to see. WBC lightweight champion. Hey, isn't Teofimo Lopez, the undisputed? Yeah, we've been through that before. Devin Haney technically is your WBC regular lightweight champion. He's going to defend it against Yuri Orkis Gamboa. Interesting test here. Now, look, Gamboa's older and on the other side, but he did give, despite an Achilles injury, Gervonta Davis problems. Problems not necessarily winning that fight, but surviving. Going into the 12th round before getting stopped, Gamboa, the former Cuban amateur star, certainly still has speed, Luke. Got a couple other things in his factor, despite the fact that he's, you know, not in his prime anymore. This is an interesting test for Devin Haney, who showed us flashes of brilliance, but really doesn't have that signature win yet. And really, if we're being honest, didn't really earn or deserve the championship status yet. but we got to see where he's at, because we're talking about Teo, we're talking about Gervonta, Ryan Garcia's got a big fight, Shakur Stevenson's trying to get a big one. We're talking about those five stars who have next in the future, who are 26, 25 and under. Devin Haney's got a nice close-up here.
Can we just talk about how bad that DAZN deal was with Golden Boy and Canelo? Yeah. Like, dude, they were talking about, you know, the richest contract in sports history, bigger than Bryce Harper's deal and blah, blah, blah. And the whole thing was premised on, I know you're asking about Devin Haney. He should beat the fuck out of Yuriorkis Gamboa. I think we both know that, and he probably will. I just can't get over this Canelo thing, dude, because let me say one more thing about this. And what we'll do is, for Mikey, who's watching, our producer, chop up all the different pieces of this and put together a reaction. Because I'll say this. Dude, the whole idea of DAZN generally, but really that driving force. Remember Canelo was doing the ads with Bruce Buffer? No. Bruce, his brother. The other Buffer, Michael Buffer. He was doing those ads where they were talking about this is the end of pay-per-view. This is it. It's over. By the way, what the fuck does this mean for Golden Boy now that their biggest attraction is gone from the stables? Like, this is shattering news, man.
And, really, and by really the way, important. Luke, their second biggest attraction, Ryan Garcia, is both trained and co-managed by Canelo's trainer. He's in the Canelo camp. And when Ryan Garcia had problems with Golden Boy a year ago, Canelo was retweeting Ryan Garcia's angry tweets. So I'm saying, overall, this is bad news for DAZN. It's probably even worse. Not probably, Luke. This is massively bad for Golden Boy Promotions. This is really, really bad, Luke. We need to really spell that out.
Let me ask you. You know better than I do. Is it ruinous?
It's certainly not ruinous, because if you can retain Ryan Garcia, they also have a very, very good-looking player there in that rising unbeaten welterweight. What the heck's the guy's name? Virgil Ortiz Jr., who Luke, I'm telling you, within a year is going to be in that group, right, that we now have with, like, Spence, Crawford, Porter. He looks like the goods. But there were court filings that came out where Canelo was something like 120% of Golden Boy's revenue in one calendar year a couple years back. So, I mean, they eat because of Canelo, right? Because he fights on pay-per-view.
For folks who may not understand, to correct me if I'm wrong, BC, it's not just that Canelo brings in money, right? It's that they use Canelo to set up all kinds of deals for other fights. Yes. He's not even involved with, like, a content deal, because he's sort of this leveraging chip. You lose him, you lose not only the money he generates for his fights, you lose the leverage that you get to make the content for the other ones.
And by the way, that's part of the vibe between Canelo and Golden Boy. Golden Boy, because of Canelo signing his individual deal with DAZN, was able to sign a huge deal for Golden Boy Promotions in general, of which Canelo feels he should have gotten a certain amount of money from, because you don't get that deal without him. So there's been a lot of back and forth there. But Luke, I'm not going to say it's ruinous, but this removes them as a major player. This is bad news. And obviously, if you're DAZN, you built that oligarch in Ukraine, emptied his vault. And look, it may be FU money to him, because he's got much bigger global fish to fry. DAZN just made a big global announcement last week. But Luke, you spent all that money, $35 million per fight, to get Canelo in, and then spent $100 million on bringing in Triple G. And again, you never made the one fight that you built your platform around. I don't want DAZN to go away. I just want them to make the kind of fights that makes it all worth it. And this is a damaging blow, Luke. Very damaging.
Man, we're going to be talking about this one for a while. I'm sorry to cut you off. Devin Haney's fine. He's going to beat the fuck out of Yuriorkis Gamboa. Right now, I just can't. I'm blown away. I'm blown away by that whole thing. Man, it's like nothing happens for weeks, and then everything happens all at once. It's crazy, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, you're more blown away than I'll leave that gross joke.
I'm right, more Luke, blown away than Bohashinya should have been before his fight with Adesanya.
Thank you. I was going somewhere Lewinsky, and I didn't have the hook on it. All right, Luke. We know Mike Tyson, Roy Jones going to fight later this month in November, Thanksgiving weekend.
By the way, I was on Rogan's podcast about that. Are they fighting for, like, the Black Lives Matter belt?
Yeah, it's the WBC frontline belt. People need to realize, this is shameless and ridiculous, but it's not a real title. WBC does this anytime they don't have a real title in a fight. If Canelo's fighting and he's not the WBC champion at the moment, they'll come out and create the WBC Mayan belt that has $2 million of rubies on it, Luke. It's worthless, bro, okay? most of these titles are worthless anyway. This is actually worthless, okay? Shout out to putting Black Lives Matter on a belt. I'm all for it, but it's worthless, Luke, okay? So Mike Tyson is open, by the way, now to fighting on past Roy Jones if things go well. And one of those things he's open for is an Evander Holyfield trilogy. Now, Holyfield is also in his early 50s, but has stayed healthy, and he's back in the gym attempting a similar style comeback. Here's a quote from Tyson. "That's always something that we can do if the people want it. If it's pragmatic enough, I'd love to do it." Luke, this feels very cart before the horse, because if this Tyson-Jones fight, and by the way, they are competing against the California State Commission, which is still going on record and saying if they try to knock each other out, we're going to step in. I don't know how, you know, Roy Jones is saying in every interview, I'm willing to die in there. Tyson just came out and said, I'm willing to execute him. If this fight, there's a lot of ways this fight can be fun. Let's not forget, Kimbo Slice against Ken Shamrock under the Bellator banner was sloppy as balls, but it was kind of fun at the same time. This may end up being fun. Luke, this may also be an absolute embarrassing train wreck on the level of that Mike Tyson World Tour sparring pay-per-view from 2005. You remember that? Where he fought that fat guy, Corey Sanders, in a t-shirt, and they wore headgear, and he knocked him down, and it was just like, what are we doing here? So, yeah, sure, Mike, you can have a trilogy with Holyfield, you know? Okay.
Remember that? You ever seen that Onion article? It was like, fat kid at pool with shirt on confuses everyone about his weight. I don't care about this Evander Holyfield shit. Like, look, I can't sit here and lie to you and say that I'm not going to watch this Jones Jr. and Tyson fight. Partly because I kind of have to be kept abreast of it. I don't know if I'll buy it or what. You know, just catch the stuff on social media later. But yes, I will pay attention to it in some capacity. Listen, I'll make a deal with everybody. If that fight ends up looking like what its truest believers say it will look like, where, you know, they look a little bit older, but hey, they got a little bit of life left in them, I will reserve all of the, I will take back all the criticisms, and I will say, you know what, maybe this is something we could, on a limited, very careful basis,
yeah,
this might be something
like
we could actually
rounds.
Do.
Three, four rounds,
okay,
lighter
yeah, right.
gloves. Right?
But I'm telling you, if it looks like what I think it's going to look like, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to verbally assault it, and I'm going to verbally assault everyone who said it was going to be anything other than that. Or you can do what BC's doing and say, I think it's probably going to be that, and I just don't care. That's the difference.
I mean, look, they're big enough stars. We love both of them. We're going to care. And oh, by the way, if you're not woke to this, it's already doing monster traffic on every website. We have these talks at CBS Sports. How can we get more Tyson? Because Jones comment, because people care. Anyone you talk to that used to watch it, they care, obviously. I wish they can figure it out. Figure out the best way for these guys to come out there who still have a little bit of gas left without, you know, we don't need 8 rounds. We don't need 10 rounds. Whatever. We'll see what happens. Luke, quickly, let's get into Dead Wrong. It's our segment we do every Friday, where we look back on the week that was in the Morning Combat universe, and we find out what the hell we got wrong. I want to start off with real quick. There it is. Yes, Dead Wrong.
This might be everyone's favorite segment that we do, like outside of typical fight talk, other than have you seen this shit? People love Dead Wrong.
In Jay's career Jay's music career is Dead Wrong.
It's just dead.
It's just dead. I'm trying to find quickly. I have a last minute addition. We always tell somebody subscribe to Showtime for 30 days, and you can go on the app and you can check out that great show that we did, Luke, Strike Force Morning Combat Classics. Somebody hit me up, and I want to shout out this guy. I can't find his name. You actually can't find it at the moment, Luke, and we are internally looking into Showtime to find out what the hell happened to our show on the app, Luke. Hopefully it didn't get cut. Hopefully we're not cut, Luke.
I want to see if that's true, because I have the Showtime app. Let me see.
As of right now, I checked this morning, I am Dead Wrong. You cannot find this show on the Showtime app, but I'm looking into getting it added on, just like I'm looking in for all you international fans out there, right? The kind who actually can pound sand outside your front door to get you the shipping you deserve for your MK merch. Hopefully. I mean, it's 2020. You'd think we could have this fixed in one day, but hopefully we'll get that, Luke. All right. Hey, let's start off with the actual Dead Wrong. All right. You ready?
Okay.
On Wednesday's show, Luke, during SJW, Social Justice Wednesday, me, BC, said that Aljamain Sterling's gross quote was, "I'm going to come on you." Piotr Jan. He actually said, are we really at this point, Luke? This is really how we're populating a segment? All right, so his actual quote,
he was,
Luke,
now, where did Aljamain Sterling say he was going to ejaculate? This is, let's parse these details.
It was the press conference after beating Sanhagen, or no, it was the interview afterwards, and he said, quote, "I'm coming on that ass, not on you, but on that ass."
Are you sure he didn't say, "I'm coming for that ass"?
No, he said on. That's why that soundbite became so fun, Luke, okay? Very fun, all right? So I just wanted to keep you abreast of that situation. I was wrong, Luke, but like Adesanya, just one breast. Okay, thank you. All right, Luke, you were dead wrong on Joe Rogan. You ready for this, Luke? When talking about Jan Blachowicz first fighting at 185 before moving up to 205,
you
were dead wrong. Jan Blachowicz has always been a 205.
I don't think I ever said that, did I?
So take that L, Luke. Take it, bro.
I've never ever thought of him as a light heavyweight. If I said, or a middleweight, if I said that, I didn't mean to, because I couldn't name a 185 fight if I tried.
All right. Well, you also, this is not on our list, but you characterized Jaime Munguia as maybe the biggest puncher in boxing.
Nope. Listen to the clip again. It's not what I said. I said the biggest puncher in boxing when measured by weight. That's exactly what I said. So for his weight.
Look, I'm not here to hate on Jaime Munguia. He's got some fun knockouts. He's just not considered among that core group of like the Wilder, Gervantes, Nayua Nues, Artur Beterbiebs. But he's a fun-ass fighter.
He's not? Since when?
He's more of a more of a volume action guy.
Who's there? I saw someone say something to you.
Was my son. That was my son. Okay. I got a hard out tip. I got a big business going on in the camp.
All right. I know you got a hard out. I mean, you know more than boxing than I do, but my understanding from everyone who's ever watched is that he's one of the sport's leading power punchers. And of course, no fucking idiot on earth would say he's up there with Wilder, for crying out loud.
Okay. Listen to the footage of him splitting Toriano Johnson's mouth and making it look like a Vajan is fantastic.
Okay, just listen to what I said. It was when measured by weight. And for his weight, I'm pretty sure he's up there. So, okay.
Luke, I don't want to fight you. This is a segment that creates, not amnesty between us, Luke.
All right. What did I get wrong this time?
Luke was not the first, but the second voice on the Green Rush trailer. Green Rush is the Uriah Faber produced and financed weed thriller that Touchy Feely stars in. And by the way, again, watch this movie if you can stream it. The first 5 or 10 minutes makes it feel like a cable access production, but it becomes a pretty damn good thriller action movie, and it's about weed. So, Luke, you were the second voice on the Green Rush trailer.
All right, I'll take that L. That's fair. I thought I was the first, but, I was pretty close.
Our producers are splitting hairs here. We got one more photo.
I mean, we're talking about where Aljamain Sterling jizzes at this point. I mean, you got it's
my
not
neck,
that terrible.
My back. Yeah, put it on my tramp stamp. Yeah, whatever you got. One more. I think we have a photo to illustrate our final dead wrong of the week. What is it? I don't understand what this is, Jay. Can you come in and speak it, please?
All the wrong things?
I don't have this in my notes, Jay. Can you save the show, please? Thank you, Jay. It's a live show here, Jason. I don't know if you're... There's a Vander. Oh, here we go. Okay. Oh, yes. This was... no wonder why Jay was slow to put this out there, Luke. This was on... last week's show, remember we tried to play the audio of the Zach Gelf show or whatever that guy's name was, the radio guy?
Yeah.
And not only did the audio not play, thank you, Team Show Malka, but they put you twice there in the windows, Luke. So, you're dead wrong.
You know what?
I didn't do this.
BC? I like highlighting the not just my failures or occasionally your failures, but the production failures light a little fire under their ass, BC.
Well, they also... they failed to play the audio on Wednesday's show of Corey Anderson as well, Luke. And not only that, you had a hot mic on the podcast version when you were like, my brother actually congratulated me on the Joe Rogan show.
Doesn't care. It's great.
I think you plotted a plan to take down a president or something after that, but that's all good. Jay, we're done with that, right?
Yeah, we're done. And none of that was me.
Again, Jay doing the sorry, Miss Jackson here.
Yes,
okay.
No, Jay doing the old Trump. It's I'm only the lead producer on this show, and I run it from my Wizard of Oz studio. But it's everyone else's fault, right, Jay? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't name names here. I'm just saying, wasn't me.
Look, Jay, it's not Jay's fault that No Escape didn't make it, Luke. It's the fault
Ron
of
Ron Johnson.
It's Ron Johnson. It's clearly Ron Johnson. All right. One day we will.
He was
get
the guy.
It.
He was the Lou Pearlman.
Yeah.
I mean, whose
yeah.
fault is it?
Just all right, Luke. Tip to tip time. This is Jay. Sorry to cut you off here. I've got a tight schedule. Tight schedule. Tip to tip. Please play the animation. All right, Luke, this is where we give one back to the fans, right? Just for a second, just to see how it feels and some advice. And, Luke, here's what I'm going to say. Do you know what's one of the greatest shows of all time? Have you ever watched the British-produced one-hour documentary called Classic Albums, Luke? Began in the late 90s. They made them all the way through, like, 2010. There's 45 episodes in all. I used to buy them in the early 2000s on DVD. You can now catch all 45 episodes on Amazon Prime. Look, if you're an absolute nerd like I am on classic albums, how they were recorded, this documentary series is so badass. The Who's Next is a great episode. Jimi Hendrix's Electric Ladyland. Plenty of classic rock ones. They even go as far as Metallica and Jay-Z for episodes. And what they do, Luke, is they bring in the original producer and engineer. They bring in the session players and background singers. They give you the story, how each song was written. They play you some of the original mixes. And then they recreate and play them again. And it is so nerd but awesome on some very fantastic albums throughout history. Even like Elton John's Goodbye the Illbrick Road episode is fantastic. If you're into that nerd stuff, there's plenty of them on Amazon Prime, which also has a crap ton of music documentaries beyond that. So that's my tip of the week if you get down like I do on all things art and vinyl and midlife crises. Thank you.
Well, unfortunately for today's tip to tip, I don't have any tip for you except I just wanted to take an opportunity because I said this on my live chat, but I want to say it on a formal Morning Combat program. Man, because, and I won't bury it here because there's no reason to bring it up past this, but because of the appearance I had on Rogan's podcast this week, everyone and their brother has reached out to me and been unbelievably nice, including, and I should say, especially our MK viewers here. There was a lot of people who watch MK, and you could tell because they'd make a reference here about something you said, BC, or us, or whatever. About there was people in the comments being like, under Rogan's video, being like, wow, Jay didn't fuck this up from a production standpoint. Like, there was real hardcore, dyed-in-the-wool MK fans who've been nothing but friendly about the whole thing. If you've written me a note or a DM'd me and I haven't had a chance to get back to you, please forgive me. So I just want to say on this tip-to-tip segment, thank you to all the MK fans. Thanks to everybody, but in particular, thank you to the MK fans who watched, who shared it, who support this project, even when I don't give a proper shout-out to my co-host and the program more generally. You guys still showed up, and you've supported everything that we've done here. I noticed it, so I want to take a moment on the show to say big-time thanks to all you guys. You're the best, and trust me, it goes noticed, and we appreciate it very much.
Fantastic, Luke. And that was, by the way, just to double down, big moment, Luke, big moment, okay?
Cool, man.
You've had
cool.
a lot of, you've come the long way, not on Peter Yan. You've come the long way, Luke, to get here. And I'm going to be honest, you have, in the last year, and this Rogan thing is the cherry on top, you may have lapped your competition. You may have passed your rivals in this game, Luke, okay? Doesn't mean you'll stay there forever. We're all in this game. We're all fighting together. I certainly, by the way, in light of the ESPN layoffs in the last 48 hours, really am thankful for what we have and wish the best, obviously, to all my former colleagues out there. It's not an easy business, so you got to savor the flavor when things are flying high. And right now, Luke, congratulations, sir, okay?
Things are going great for all of us here. And if I go on again next time, if there is a next time, I promise, BC, I'll be better about saying your name, and I'll call you big.
Right. You think I
I'll
need?
I'll call you
I
beige Brian Campbell.
You think I need your clicks? Come on, bro. All right. I got to jet out early here. I want to give a quick shout out to the Kids Wish Network. One of my twin sons, 12 years old, Isaac, my man. He was born 4.5 months premature. He weighed 2 pounds. He's battled severe brain bleed, cerebral palsy, yet he's an amazing kid who runs 5Ks, is on his cross-country team, is a star in adaptive sports, and he got entered into the Kids Wish Network. And his wish is being fulfilled right now. As soon as we turn this off, he's going to get a Zoom call with his hero Olympic champion Usain Bolt from Jamaica.
Wow. So, we're
very excited. There's a family. There's a film crew here right now about to hit this hard. So I'm a proud dad. So that's that. And that's
shouts to Isaac. Shouts to both your boys, but shouts to Isaac.
Absolutely. Okay. Shout out to Abuela as well. If she's back from South America, Luke, shout out to her. Okay.
I'll let her know.
Thank you very much. Thank you to Jay and the entire Showtime Malka crew and CBS Sports for paying the money for Luke to come join this full time. Okay. We love giving it to you. Enjoy the fights this weekend. We're constantly setting up interviews, bonus content. WWE Hall of Famer Luke, Kevin Nash, going to be on this show next week. You're not going to want to miss that, brother. Okay.
Isn't he a big time lefty on Twitter?
Big time. In fact, he was I did the interview last night, full disclosure, and he was watching the election update and giving updates on the interview. He's a big time.
BC, I don't have a favorite pro wrestler, but if I did, it'd be a tie between Batista and Kevin Nash.
And Big Sexy, yeah, the damn beer koozie right here. It's my guy, right? He's over my shoulder right here. So shout out to that. I got to run for everyone. Follow us on the socials. Can we drop that in real fast? Thank you, Jason. That's our situation. It's morningcombat@gmail.com for fan submissions, ideas, questions, all that great stuff. We have a documentary in the works on our return to the Jersey Swamps that you are not going to friggin' want to miss. That's it for everyone else. May all your ex-lovers be happy these days without you and your hoes and your gains. Loyal. MK, we out.